I remember this one particular day very clearly. I was still a fairly new aspirant for the priesthood in the Episcopal Church, and really hadn't been an Episcopalian for that long to begin with. But I was loving the Episcopal Church, and one of the things that I loved was how I was being encouraged to wrestle with my faith, to be in dialogue with others around me and debate stuff and ask questions and explore. Because I came from a faith background in which I wasn't encouraged to do those things. If anything, I was actually discouraged that asking questions was a sign of lack of faith, right? That if I had doubts or was wrestling with things, then I was being a bad Christian, that if I just believed, I wouldn't need to ask. And so this was really different for me. This opened up a whole new world, and I was talking about things with people, and I picked up C.S. Lewis for the first time and was just blown away, and I was reading Thomas Merton all the way to Thomas Aquinas and back, and was just having a great time. And I remember this day in particular, because I was a church volunteer at St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. And the young associate rector went walking by, and I stopped him excitedly, and I said, Les, I figured it out. And he said, what's that, Stephen? And I said, the Trinity, Les. I figured out the Trinity. And so he nodded, he smiled, he said, okay, shoot. And I said, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Father is like the God that's beyond all things, above all things, beyond the world. God the Son is like God is Jesus, God incarnate in the world, amongst us and with us. God the Holy Spirit is the God that's inside of us, inside you, inside me, in our relationships between us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Trinity figured out. And I was very proud of this. And Les smiled and nodded, and he said, I can see you're enthusiastic about this, and you've been working hard at it, that what you have just described to me is an ancient heresy called modalism, and we threw people out of the church for it. So my heart sank into my stomach, and he said, that's okay, that's all right. We're not going to throw you out of the church. You're okay. But I encourage you to continue to explore this because you're clearly passionate about it. And so I was undeterred. And so I continued, and I was reading more things and studying the Bible for the first time, which was amazing. And a few weeks later, Les was walking by, and I said, Les, I figured it out, the Trinity. And he said, okay, let me have it. And I said, God the Father is the creator, the one who created all things and gave them their meaning, gave them their being. God the Son is the God that died for us, that was sacrificed for us, for our sin, to redeem us. And God the Holy Spirit is the God that empowers us and strengthens us and sustains us. So he said, so what you're saying is God the creator, the redeemer, the sustainer. And I said, yes! And he said, also a heresy. Because it's modalism again. It's the same heresy, actually. Because the problem is, and I felt horrible, and he was like, it's all right. Because he said, the problem that you're running into is you keep trying to take certain aspects of what God is and apply it to part of the Trinity, and you're leaving out the other parts of the Trinity, right? That by saying that the Son is who redeemed us, what you're saying is the Holy Spirit didn't play any role in our redemption, or God the Father didn't play any role in our redemption, which just isn't true. And if you're saying the Holy Spirit is the God that's in us, the problem with that is that it makes it sound like God the Father and the Son are not within us, which also isn't true. They are, right? As I said, so I don't understand this. There's three. And he said, yes. And I said, but it's one. And he said, yes. I said, that doesn't make any sense. And he said, I know. It doesn't. It's a mystery. And that's why every priest hates to preach on Trinity Sunday. And so I continued to wrestle with this because he encouraged me. He said, but this is all right. Wrestle with these things. You know, take this passion that you've got and continue to wrestle with this and be in dialogue and ask questions. And in my studies, I came upon looking at language. And where I came down to was realizing that all language is really symbol, right? That when we use any word, like the word ball, right? The word is not a ball itself. It points to something beyond itself. That thing that you know of as a ball and I know of as a ball, and we put a word to symbolize that which it is so we can talk and be in dialogue about it. Or we'll do that for, say, the word like church. We use the word church, and it points beyond the word to maybe this building that we're in, to maybe a group of people who have been gathered by God for a common purpose, to maybe mean the body of Christ that has been called by God to for his special purposes. But we use the word church as a symbol that represents all that that's beyond the word itself. And the problem is when we do that for God, then that's when we start running into these heresies, right? Because anything we do in our language is going to utterly fall short of all that God is. You know, the problem is not that God isn't like a father, which he is. Or God, we can use language saying God is like a gardener, when that's true. Or God is our redeemer, or God is love. And these are all great things, but they will always utterly fall short of all that God is. And we need to make the mistake of not thinking that in our language, when we're using these symbols to talk about God and be in dialogue with each other, the real mistake is in thinking that the symbols represent all that God is. You and I, we've been given a great gift. We've been given a great gift to be in a tradition that celebrates this idea that we can debate these things and talk about it and wrestle with it and try to rationalize our faiths. And so when we find ourselves running into a holy mystery like the Trinity, it can be really unsatisfying, but it can also maybe scare us a little bit sometimes into not wanting to talk about it for fear of sounding dumb, for fear of saying something wrong, for fear of maybe accidentally committing some ancient heresy and getting burned at the stake for it, right? But we've been given a great gift here in our tradition in that we're encouraged to talk about these things with each other. And yeah, run the risk of maybe saying something that isn't quite complete or doesn't fully capture God. But I can promise you, God is not going to think of you any less for wrestling with these things and occasionally tripping up or falling short. The true tragedy would be if we stopped asking questions and we stopped exploring for fear of getting it wrong. The problem is not the questions. The problem is when we stop asking questions because we think that it's all been answered already, or when we stop being in dialogue with each other because we think that it's all figured out and there's nothing to talk about. We've been given a great gift in this tradition, in the Episcopal Church especially, that not even all Christians have been given this gift to be able to embrace their faiths in a way that they can wrestle with it and rationalize and argue and debate and at the end of the day disagree and still come together and pray and continue to learn and grow and struggle with it. It's a gift. And on this Trinity Sunday, I want to encourage us all to be brave, to face being able to talk about these things with each other, even though we're occasionally going to bump up against it or find ourselves accidentally, you know, disagreeing with somebody around us and being embarrassed by it, that what we get out of that is a church that is constantly learning, a church that's constantly growing and forming itself in its relationship with God and in the people and with the people around us. And that's something worth celebrating. In the name of one God, who is three gods, but is one God.